back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And we are back on the eve of All Things Apocalypse coming out this particular Saturday. Pre-orders are going up for all kinds of nifty stuff, especially we were just talking about those box sets. In case you haven't had a checkout, not every army got one, but several armies. And we did kind of the pricing a little bit. It's basically you're getting a box set, an army starter kit for about 30% off retail. And remember last time Apocalypse came out, this thing was a steal and became the cornerstone of one of my armies at that point, which is one of these box sets.
Yeah, so I think the big ones that got missed were, what, Gene Stealer Cult? I don't think Drukhari got one.
Yeah, a lot of whining on the Drukhari Facebook page about that. Yes.
But, I mean, just about any Space Marine chapter can use a Space Marine one.
And the Chaos one as well is in really good shape. I have to admit, the AdMech one was a bit of a disappointment. It's basically, I think, 9 Castellan robots and a couple HQ choices. I was really hoping for like a Cataphron Breacher mob of some kind, and I would have picked it up in a second. But nonetheless, a whole bunch of Robbie the Robots. So I was like, okay. And the Tyranid one seems to be all Zilla monsters, which, you know, works out with the movie coming out. So kind of neat.
It's not a bad buy for anybody who's been wanting to get Carnifexes but not really ready to pay $90 just for two.
True. That's a good point. I think you get a Tyrannofex, which I know some people are mixed on the competitiveness. I think they have a place. And I mean, if you get one in the kit, it's pretty cool. Trigon Prime, and I forgot something else is in there as well.
The Tyrant.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that might come in handy. So pretty neat. Quite a few faction updates throughout it, which is honestly because they're not adding any new units. No matter, I mean, everybody's like hyper analyzing that the Eliminators have a different weapon loadout in Apocalypse than they do in 40K. But okay, whatever. We'll see if it comes out. But for the most part, if it's already in your codex, it's already in Apocalypse. There's nothing new, really, for new models yet. So interesting to see as that moves forward, especially if now we've got Codex Chaos Knights coming out. We'll see new Chaos Titans come out. I think that'd be interesting. That's a Forge World question. But that was one of the cool things about the old smaller scale Epic game was the all the Khorne and Slaanesh Titans, which makes a great segue for Chaos Knights. So lots of previews today about all that. Ray, what did you see that caught your attention?
Well, I think one of the biggest things was the fact that we're going to see what they call iconoclast households. Which, the way that they describe it, it's almost like a mockery of the basic households that you see for the Imperial Knights. I think they describe it in the article as a, quote, brutal parody, which is interesting.
There was like a video where they interviewed the two of the guys, part of the design team. And they went into that in a little more depth, because at first I was like, are they literally just taking everything from the chaos, from the Imperial Knights Codex and putting a chaos spin on everything? Ugh. But the way they described it was apparently there's a lot of rivalry among the knight households. And these are the guys who took basically they're basically the whack households and sided with chaos to get ahead of their other knight households. So I was like, okay, that makes a little more sense then, as opposed to being, I'm a chaos household.
Yeah. So rules wise, for the iconoclasts household, they've got what's I guess they're called ambitions. They've got Conquerors Without Mercy, which if a model with this ambition made a charge move, was charged, or performed a heroic intervention, add one to the attack characteristic until the end of turn, and the armor penetration characteristic of melee weapons the model is equipped with is improved by one until the end of turn. In addition, when an enemy unit fails a morale test while within 12 inches of any models with this ambition, one additional model flees that unit. So it's kind of, it's actually not bad.
No, they're not. First of all, I was happy to see that, okay, we're not just cut and pasting, you know, from the last book. So I was like, okay, now you got my attention. And yeah, not bad. The additional minus one to AP adds up pretty quick. I think that's kind of neat. And the additional fallback is, when you think about knights, they are usually doing damage in buckets. So, and then that's a hefty 12-inch range, you know, with that, especially with that larger base. Usually only have a few models on the table. Pretty can become all those things. Little things start adding up, especially when you're in that combat zone and you're like, okay, I killed 17 models. I still need those three to go away somehow. You know, those last three models in the unit. So it's kind of neat. The vows are interesting. These are the stratagems. Interesting that you can only use one vow per game. You can't mix and match in the same game, but you can obviously mix and match throughout the tournament if you're going multiple games. But each of them offered a bit of wide variety and an interesting and some language we hadn't seen before. So I thought that was interesting. Some new mechanics coming in. So yeah, for example, sorry about that. Vow of dominance, for example, until the end of the battle, when resolving an attack against this model, an unmodified wound rule of 1, 2, or 3 always fails, irrespective of any abilities that the model or weapon may have in making that attack. I was like, oh, interesting. All your big heavy weapons kind of go away. So, I mean, granted, that's usually knight on knight action because a lot of your heavy fire is, you know, strength 8, strength 9, so you're only wounding on 4s, but you know, some of these, you know, Reaper chain swords and stuff in close combat where they're wounding on 2s at strength 16, all of a sudden they kind of lose their punch a little bit.
I like the Vow of Carnage.
Yeah, I got a lot of traction this morning when we were talking amongst our crew here. I want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, so you use a stratagem before the battle. Select one iconoclast household model from your army to declare a Vow of Carnage. Until the end of the battle, you keep a tally of enemy models destroyed as a result of attacks made by that model, adding one to that model's attack characteristic for every 10 models destroyed. That model cannot be selected for the Vow of Dominance or Vow of the Beast Slayer stratagem, and you can only use the stratagem once per battle. So yeah, if you're playing, you know, another knight army or some other elite army, it's not that useful, but if you're going against something that's going to have a fair amount of models on the table, say, you know, a more gaunt, heavy Tyranid list or, you know, something along the lines of a fairly basic guard or gene stealer cult, it's not too hard to get, you know, 2 or 3 more attacks.
And you also stack this on, if you're playing ITC missions, if you can stack this with, I believe it's called Reaper or Slate. I can't remember the exact one. There's one where you get bonus points for total model slain. So not only are you getting secondary points, but you're getting bonus attacks. And at first you think, oh, it needs to be a close combat. It doesn't say that. It's every 10 models killed. So you're like, ugh, I still don't want to put a Reaper chainsword on it. Don't. You get plus one attack, which becomes plus three attacks when you do happy feet on somebody.
I still think a lot of these to just say attacks are going to get FAQ'd to say melee. Personally, I mean, I could be completely wrong, but that's just what I think it's going to end up being.
I'd be curious to see if they work that out. I had to see the whole book to kind of get, you know, what direction they were going at with this, but it's possible. But either way, it's, I think with the exception of like the Avenger Gatling Cannon, killing 10 models in a single go was, you know, that's knights are usually designed to take out big stuff. One thing I did like when I first I was reading this quick cause I got to work and, you know, supposed to be doing stuff and was answering phone calls and kind of ignoring what I was supposed to be doing and trying to skim over this. And I went back and read this one. So one of the things they talk about are the infernal households. And these are basically, they flat out said it, these are the Dark Mechanicus. So just like in the Imperial Codex, you've got those that are linked to the Adeptus Mechanicus. These are the parts of part of the Dark Mechanicum. So rumor, you know, get your tin foil hat on there. Is there going to be further Dark Mechanicum models in the future? Who knows? But one of the things they brought out, and I looked at this real quick, was Demonic Surge. And I was like, ew, they made an Imperial Knight a, basically, a, I just blanked on it, Hellbrute. I was like, all right. But then I reread it carefully. And basically, long story short, is you roll D3 and you get these one of these random abilities. They're all really good. Either add 2 movement and 1 to all advanced charge rolls, or add 1 to your toughness characteristic, or select 1 ranged weapon equipped, add 1 to the strength and damage characteristic. Or, not a big fan of rolling D3s, neither am I, can never figure out the math. You can just pick which one you want, and then so you suffer D3 mortal wounds. And I was like, where was this when the Hellbrute came out? That would have been awesome.
And you know what? For what you get in the roll, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, especially because you got 20 wounds to play with. I'm like, yeah, all right, D3, and I'm getting, you know, I need to take this thing down. Demonic power, here we go, and mix that with Death Hex with a sorcerer nearby. No invul save. All of a sudden, you know, that damage is creeping up with that +1. Add 1 to the toughness. There's a lot of players who've done 101 bits of math hammer to figure out how to take out a toughness 8 knight. Oh, sorry to ruin your plans. I'm now toughness 9.
Yeah, so you've got the demonic hunger, which is the D3 roll of a 1. That's useful if you want to get your knight further across the board. And if you want to get it into close combat, because it gives you a +1 to the advance and the charge rolls. The Demonic Fortitude, which is the D3 roll of a 2, gives you that +1 to the toughness. And for the roll of a 3 on the D3, you get Demonic Power, where you select 1 ranged weapon that the model has, and you get to add 1 to that weapon's strength and damage characteristic. Just when you thought it was hard enough to survive getting hit with the Gatling cannon before, it's even harder now.
Yep. And the nice thing is you can choose this once per battle round.
Yeah.
So you don't have to like commit to it for the game or something like that. So you can be like, all right, my game plan is, I'm going to give it demonic hunger, so I get +2 movement. I'm definitely advance and get on that objective right away at board center and just hold down the center of the table. Oops, race used initiative on me. How about demonic fortitude? So I can then spend a stratagem for, we'll work on super heavy. So, never mind. But demonic fortitude. So now all of a sudden, maybe I'll weather the storm of all his alpha strike and then come back on turn 2 with something else. So you can mix and match these as much as you want each turn. So it's pretty handy. Of course, you're taking D3 mortal wounds every time you do that. But, you know, best case scenario, it takes 6 mortal wounds. Worst case, 18. But they, as you scroll down, there are plenty of opportunities to heal you back up. So I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. So let's start off with this pact with the Dark Gods. Use a stratagem when an infernal household model from your army is destroyed but did not explode. Roll 1d6 at the end of the phase, and on a 4+, you return that model to play with D3 runes remaining, placing it as close as possible to its previous position and more than 1 inch away from any enemy models. And of course, stratagem cannot be used more than once per battle. So let's bring back one of those models you lost.
Well, it cannot be used on the same model more than once per battle. So you could lose every knight once.
Oh, well, I skimmed over that part. Yeah. That's crazy by itself.
Yeah. So the zombie knight is already something we've seen on the Imperial side. So, yeah, it is a cut and paste, but still pretty cool.
Let's add on to make it even more interesting. Bind the Souls of the Defeated. You use a stratagem at the start of the fight phase. Select one Infernal Household model from your army, and until the end of the phase, when an enemy model is destroyed as a result of an attack made with a melee weapon by the selected model, roll a d6, and on a 4+, the selected model regains one lost wound. Each model can only regain up to 6 wounds as a result of the stratagem in the same phase. So let's say you've got a melee knight of some sort, and you're fighting a squad of 10 witches. You've got the skull up, and you kill 5 of them, and you roll 4 pluses, you've got 4 wounds back if you had them lost.
So yeah, for all you guys who hated the Inari for surrounding the Incarn with 101 Eldari models, guess what? Knights can do it too. I took a heavy round of shooting. Let me go chew on your rusty 32. Rawr. Heal myself back up. Yeah.
And sometime later this week, it'll probably be in the past by the time listeners are catching this episode, they're going to be Dreadblades, which are evil free blades with, quote, deadly special abilities.
I like the idea of this, that they're kind of a chaos mercenary. It's kind of neat.
So. Yeah. So I do believe Don's excited to try this out. I'm wishing I still had my knight army. What do you think?
A couple things. I know there's a lot of people saying, oh, this is totally going to change the meta. I don't know if it's going to bring knights back. Like, you know, we just celebrated the death of the, you know, the knight super, you know, tyranny of ruling the top tables. So we haven't seen any point values. I'm assuming it's going to be a cut and paste of what the Imperial ones are going to be. And you're really not getting any new knights. Yes, they're a new model, but you're still getting the same 3 sizes. You're getting an armager. You're getting the standard knight we've always had, and whatever. I keep blanking what the big one's called.
So it's Dominus in the case when you're talking Imperial Knight. But it looks like in here they're giving them different. They're calling them different things for Chaos. So, for instance, it looks like the Armagers of Chaos are being called War Dogs. One would be considered the Dominus, so we're talking the newest ones, the bigger ones.
That's the one.
They're called Tyrants.
Okay.
One thing I'm curious on is the newest Knight. Oh, wait, no, here it is. So the Knight Perceptor will not be moved over to the Chaos Codex. That is Loyalist only. But at the same time, we're getting the 2 Chaos-specific knights. So they're not just... It's not going to be completely cut and paste. There is going to be, you know, some flavor differences.
Yeah. Quite a bit of flavor difference. I still think... I definitely will shake things up because it gives Chaos, you know, that the hitting power that previously was exclusive to Imperial armies, and it'll be interesting to see what has those matchups, you know, that knight on knight action and who's left out. I think also we see how do the other armies adapt to this, because one, you know, orcs are still, you know, jumping up and down. Are you gonna ever fix my Stompa? And what we're seeing right here, Stompa's being left behind compared to what these Chaos knights can do. So we shall see, and I'm sure some orc players can be like, oh yeah, I'll take you on with my Stompa horde. I'm like, yeah, you're probably, yeah, beating. And that's the other thing, I look at the armies I play are already struggled with Imperial knights. Now I'm like, Chaos varieties too. Oh great, can't wait.
And something else I'm curious on, it does involve Chaos knights, but it's not really plastic. Technically it's plastic, or it's cardstock. The data cards, they show an image, and of course they always show the backside, so you can see the 4 different, you know, however many images you got. For the Chaos Knights, there's 4. Now, I know for a fact they're going to have the stratagems, that's 1. The Maelstrom cards is 2. But what are the other 2 that are that we're seeing?
Maybe they have those bigger cards. Remember when the Imperial Knights came out? They're kind of the size, they're a little... almost like 2 5x7 cards, together.
Yeah.
Or they're kind of neat. Maybe something like that. I don't know.
No, these are the same size as all the other data, the, you know, the other cards. That's too small for, to fit all that information on. So, I don't know if they're just going to put all the vowels in there. I could see them doing the vowels, but that still leaves questions of what that fourth one's going to be.
Yeah, good point. Maybe we'll see with the free blade variants, so the dread blades.
Oh, that could be it. So one last question. It's a little bit of conjecture for the audience. When the Dominus Knights came out, I made probably one of my few correct calls on which one was going to end up being the most popular in the Castellan, when at the time, I know Don was saying it was going to be the other one, the one with the harpoon and the flamethrower. Which of these two Chaos Knights do you think is going to end up being the most used of the two?
I think initially, because Castellan was so popular, I think people are just going to take that and run with and try to make something work. Honestly, when we were kind of doing some list work, I think the way to go is a large smattering of armagers with only one support knight in the back to provide some like a fire base. Armagers provide a lot of support, a lot more board control. Yes, they don't have the ability to fall back and step over infantry like a regular knight does. But when you stack them up, compare an armager to, say, like a Lehman Russ, which have suddenly come back into vogue, when you start looking at some of the other vehicles that are starting to come back into popularity in certain lists, the armager size knight is definitely superior. So I think it'd be curious. I think we're seeing those quite a bit.
Okay. So good information, but I think you misunderstood what I was asking.
Probably.
So we've got,
Knight. Listen to me, dummy.
We've got the Knight Desecrator and the Knight Rampager. These are two new Chaos Knights that are coming out. Mm-hmm. Between those two, which one do you think is going to end up getting used more, if at all?
I just like the Desecrator. Sounds cooler. Let's go with that.
This might help you out. The Desecrator is the one that it's described in the preview as mid to close range powerhouse, and the Rampager is the one that's considered the close combat.
Yeah, I'd stick to that. For the most part, I don't think people are going to throw their knights forward and do close combat when they still have the crazy stomp roll. The need for a close combat weapon on a knight, unless you're fighting another knight in some crazy, knight on knight action. There's those joust events. Yeah, sure. But usually on the table, you're looking to step on people and blow as much away off the table. So I'd stick to that. The name said it all. There you go. So, no, interesting. Yeah, I had to admit, I was very lukewarm to this Chaos Knight Codex. I was like, is this going to be cut and paste? It's kind of lazy. That's clearly not the case. I was initially disappointed because some of the old favorites from Epic did not make it to this Codex. They're kind of generic knights. So, for example, no Subjugator Titan from Slaanesh, no Bane Lord from Khorne and stuff like that. But those could be some great additions down the road. And honestly, a little conversion work, you could probably make your own too. So,
yeah, I've seen someone who actually did that. They used their 3D printer and skills in CAD, and they recreated some of the Slaanesh knights utilizing the armager and the other knights that they've already got.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you don't remember, by the way, from years of yore, the Subjugator Titan was actually the smallest Titan in the game. And it's probably the size of what we know now as an Imperial Knight. It might be a little smaller, but it was fast. It was and it was a close combat beast. And basically had a upgraded Doom Siren and then these two large claws on the side. It just leapt across. There was two others that were more shooty variety, and those were the Slaaneshi ones. They're kind of quicky and fast. And then all the corn ones, you've probably seen these in artwork, but these are the clever, where you've got these demonic faces and with gaping mouths, and coming out of mouths are battle cannon barrels and stuff like that. And most of them were corn themed. They were really cool looking. They had, like, imagine a Titan with a Carnifex being put together. It's because they usually had tails of some kind that did additional damage. And then one arm is a Gatling gun. The other arm is like this organic looking bone axe. It was really wild looking, and it was, I kind of wish those come back, but went for a different aesthetic, which I still like. It's just, you know, wasn't what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
And then the Nurgle ones literally were, they had skin stretched across them. It was really gross looking. And all these pot, you know, these boiling pots of something boiling over, they would shoot, you know, all kinds of flamer template weapons on people. It was gross. Yeah. It was nasty. Because each one stunk. I'm sorry. I know you're a Thousand Sun fan, Ray, but they looked horrible. So we'll see what they come up with this time around.
Yeah, we'll see. In the meantime, moving away from Knights, there was another thing that popped up today. I don't know if you noticed. The article itself was titled "Breaking News: Another Primaris Lieutenant." It was a kind of a weird thing. It's one of those, it's got to be filled with Easter egg kind of posts. And it is pretty much all you've got is a video for a, and I'm going to use the big air quotes here, episode of Primaris Lieutenant Daily. And it's supposed to be a guy who's obsessed with Primaris Lieutenants. But if you look closely, you'll see what appear to be new Primaris Marine models. One kind of looks a little bit like a Rhino style tank. Then you see some other units. It's not very visible, but one of the things that's getting talked about is that the episode that's listed is 723. There's a lot of guesswork involved, so apply plenty of salt. But people are thinking that we're going to see news about the updated Space Marine Codex, the 2.0 version, sometime that day, that 23rd day of July, which would be 723.
Interesting. I did see some of the blurred out pictures. Yeah, it seems like the Marines, the Marine tank, and I think it was, looked like almost like a scout unit, but they weren't eliminators. I weren't sure what those were. It was hard to tell. So, but definitely something is brewing for the Marines. Another area I saw, there was in the Black Library area things, there's more talk about an all Primaris chapter that they're talking about, and they actually included rules for them in the Black Library book. So they have their own chapter tactics, so that you can actually play them in 40K. And it wasn't anything spectacular. It's not going to be meta-busting, but it's just the whole idea that there's, from a lore standpoint, Primaris only chapters that are actually named chapters. Now, will they be divergent enough like a Blood Angels Codex and a Dark Angels Codex that they'll be that far off? Don't think we're there yet, but can't be ruled out at this point.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of rumors going around that that's exactly what is the next Space Marine Codex could be, is something pushing the all Primaris army. I don't know how much I believe that that'd be something like that. I mean, I could see something like a White Dwarf Index, you know, a chapter approved style thing, but not a full codex. But we'll see. You know, they're going to be, if they're pushing more of the Primaris stuff, I mean, it's either going to start, the codex is either going to lean more towards talking about that and kind of leaving the old non-Primaris stuff out in the dust, or it's going to start looking a little bit like the ever-expanding Stormcast Eternal Codex from AOS.
There was also talk about a sort of split in the Imperium, where those that follow the Emperor and maintain the status quo, and those that are following Gilliman, who's trying to push it forward. So maybe that's where they go with it. Don't know.
I don't know. You know, that's one of those rumors that I don't know how much I'm really going to put anything to, because we've not seen anything showing any signs of something like that going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So a couple things going back and forth. And then the last rumor that's been floating around, if you live in Japan, I guess apparently they have these like conquest heroes. It's like a hero pack where you get like five or six unique Space Marine characters, kind of like a Kill Team release. And the last first ones that came out were all Primaris Marines. Apparently it was leaked by mistake and by some Japanese distributor. So now they're bringing out the bad guys. So apparently three new Death Guard models will be coming out in a more of a character type form. They look pretty impressive, you know, typical for what we've already seen from other Death Guard models. You know, lots of ornate, gross tentacles and bells and all kinds of weird stuff hanging out. But interesting that they have a different release schedule for different parts of the country. So, or different parts of the globe, I should say. But
yeah, I missed that.
It was just a kind of a blip on the radar. I was one of those, oh, okay. They originally showed them kind of grayed out. So you only saw like the profile, and then they were in another catalog and they forgot to gray them out. And so, oh, here they are.
Oops. Whoops.
Oops. Sorry. So we'll see what happens. But lots kind of gurgling. We've got Gen Con coming up pretty soon. We know that usually marks kind of the release of some new materials at that point. We've got Nova coming up. We know there's usually a demonstration or some sort of announcement at that particular event. So two more opportunities to kind of tell us, hey, what's coming out. But I'd be curious to see what else we can see. And please, not another Hobbit release. Give me something. I'm looking forward to, you know, kind of nailing it. Because a lot of those, what's that little thing they do in the community where they show up an extreme close-up of a model that hasn't been released yet, and you have to try and guess what it is?
Oh, the rumor engine.
Yeah. There was like three in a row, and I was like, eh, it's Age of Sigmar, and you were the quick one to point out. Did you notice that the glyphs on the Eldar-looking thing are exactly the same ones that are on the Harlequins?
Yeah, I caught that one. That wasn't me that actually saw that, but yeah, I pointed that out to you.
So now I've been like trying to contain my excitement, because right now the Harlequin Codex was like where the Thousand Sons were 2 years ago. And then they added all those new units and they're a pretty awesome army at this point. You can't even run two battalions of Harlequins right now. So I was just laughing when they said, oh, here's how to run Harlequins in Apocalypse. I'm like, really? Why would you do that? You're going to get 10,000 points of clowns together? No, you're not going to do that. So I'd be curious to see what if they do flip. And I have no idea, you know, what I kind of flipped through some lore and what they would do to add to that codex. I mean, I have no idea what other options there are, you know, missing characters and stuff like that. I have no idea.
It's a good question, but we'll find out.
We will find out. So, all right. Lots of news to get through. We also had two, GT level events over the past weekend. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll go over those results right after this.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Welcome back after the break. We had two GT-level events over the past weekend. We start off in El Paso, Texas at the Desert Rat GT.
Yep. So in fifth place with Necrons, we've got Antonio Sedeno. In fourth place, surprise, Tyranids, being played by Sean Prosser. Viet Nguyen is in third with Imperium. Jeremy. Okay, thank you. Is in second with Drakari. And in first is Nick Sutherland with Orcs. That is a crazy top five.
It's a little different. So first of all, a quick shout out to a lot of our friends at that particular event. We'll go over some of the notables in a second, but let's take a look at Nick's first place list. Starts off with a battalion of Evil Sons. Big Mac with a Chopper Grot Oil and a custom force field. Warboss on bike, taking the gold index fun. Three units of 30 boys, all with Sluggers and Choppers. I take that back. Two of them are Sluggers and Choppers. One of the 30-man units is a Shooter unit. Second battalion is Death Skulls. He takes a specialist Dreadwaw from Vigilus. Takes a big mech with a shock attack gun. And, of course, he's going to soup that up. He also takes, and that's actually his warlord, by the way, and he's got two other big mechs, also with shock attack guns. Three units of 10 Gretchen. And then in the heavy support spot, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Two units of 6 mech guns, all smasher guns. And his third battalion, it always blows my mind that orcs can easily field this many battalions. It's Bad Moon's battalion featuring two weird boys, one unit of 13 Gretchen, two units of 10, and then one unit of 15 looters. So, interesting list. I'm assuming the Gretchen are there to shield all the big important stuff. The one big unit of 15 Ludas, obviously put that in the Bad Moons to take advantage of the shooting bonuses. I have to look up the Smasher Gun. I don't remember what that does off the top of my head. But obviously taking the Vigilist detachment, he's going to be fishing for that super shotgun, shock attack gun. And then, of course, with the Evil Sons, getting all the additional board presence with three 30-man boy units. So quite a bit going on with protection of the custom force field. So I don't really care if I'm in cover or not. So you can have all the crappy terrain you want. I'm going to be well protected. Jeremy Lefferby's Drukhari list is kind of an interesting mix. He takes a little bit of everything to make it work. He starts off with a battalion of Cult of Strife featuring Lilith and a Succubus with Chardon and Impaler. Four units of 5 witches. Nice mix, though, of witch special weapons. Like you usually only see Chardonnets and Impalers. Looks like he's deploying them in pairs. Two of them with Chardon and Impalers, two of them with Hydra Gauntlets, which allows you to reroll wounds. He's got two units of 5 Reaver Bikes and then one unit of 3 Reaver Bikes. Reaver bikes. And then the second detachment is a battalion as well. It's Cabal of the Flayed Skull, featuring his warlord, which is an Archon, as well as a regular Archon, and then three units of 5 warriors, all with shredders, and 3 ravagers, one Razorwing jet bike. A Razorwing jet bike, nice. Razorwing jet fighter, a little bigger than a jet bike. 1, 2, 3, 4 raiders, all with disintegrators. So interesting there. And then last but not least, he has got a patrol of Prophets of the Flesh featuring Homunculus, a 10-man unit of Rax with Ossifactors, and a small unit of 4 Grotesques to round out the list. So kind of going back to the old style Drakari, a lot of the newer players who were looking around have been doing the Venom spam, you know, the 10, 12, 14 transports to occupy space on the table. So I thought that was interesting. He kind of went back to that old style. And obviously it worked for him. He and Nick Sutherland went 4-0-1 on the weekend. So, but Nick had definitely more battle points by a significant margin. Matter of fact, the guy who came in third, Viet Nguyen, actually he had 4 wins, but he actually had more battle points than second place Jeremy Lefferby. I thought that was interesting. So quick shout out, fellow teammate Matt Ball with Tau Empire. He came in 8th place. He went 3-1-1 with triple riptides. Jonathan Camacho, several top performances at LVO in his home state. Actually, did a bit of a tumble, only going 3-2. Aaron Weissman, also friend of the show, going 3-2 with an Imperium list. And Michael DeHeos, interesting. He is the right now he's listed as in the ITC as a top Inari player, but he took an Imperium list and went 3-2. So some of the big names in there. Also, Nick Hancock, Andrew Armstrong, and Herb Schaefer also at the event. Good to see all our friends there, as well as Troy Selowitzki. So lots of our friends made the trip. Appreciate them going out to that particular event. We did have one other event, one of my favorite logos, the Boise Cup. Played off their fun at the Potato Head Space Marine. Love their logo. So by far the largest event on the weekend. And Ray, who's our top five?
All right. So in fifth place is Caden Humphreys playing Imperium. Scott Rumpel is in fourth playing Imperium. Also playing Imperium. In third is Ben Cromwell. Thomas Hegstrom Oakley makes second with his Blood Angels. And in first place is Richard Kilton playing Orcs.
Yeah, two wins in a row now for Rich Kilton. That's a huge run. Generally known throughout the meta as one of the good guys. He's a really nice guy, just an infectious smile. Every time I'm seeing him, he's smiling. So it's nice to see that he's doing well. It's interesting how many other internet groups that cover 40K are like, and you know, Thomas Ekstrom Oakley surprising everyone, winning with Blood Angels. Guys, 2 years ago, he was the top Space Marine player in the ITC. He took a year off as he had a new addition to his family. Congratulations on that. So I hope this is more to come, that Thomas is back on the tournament circuit, because not only is he a magnificent player, he's also a magnificent painter. He's actually one of the staff painters over at Frontline Gaming. So and a just all around great guy to be around. So this will be a huge step forward if he can continue to keep playing. But both players went 5-0, but unlike our previous event, Rich just narrowly beat out Thomas by 2 points for the overall win. So Rich's list has not changed much from our previous podcast, but if you haven't heard the list before, it looks something like this. Starts off with a battalion of evil sons. It's got a war boss and mega armor, and two weird boys in the command slots. Four units of boys all over the place. Two units of 30, they're all Slugga's Joppas. Then one unit of 10 Slugga Choppas, and then a unit of 24, which is Shootas. In the elite slot, he's got a Nob with a Wog banner, and then he's got a truck, assume that's with a Wrecking Ball, assume the 10-man squad's going in there. Second battalion, Death Skulls. He's also got the specialist Dread Waw, seems to be really popular. Big Mech with Shock Attack Gun, guess what he's taking for a relic? And a war boss on bike, 3 units of 10 Gretchen, Mad Dog Grotsnik in the elite slot, and that rounds out the detachment. And then finally, he's got another Bad Moon detachment. He's got a Runthard, I can never pound, the guy that tells the Gretchen where to go. Big Mech,
Runthard,
there we go.
Something like that.
Yeah. Big Mech, Weird Boy, 1 unit of 20 Gretchen, 2 units of 10 Gretchen, and of course the maxed out 15 Ludas. So very similar to our previous Orc list. He's got a shooting detachment, a close combat attachment, and the whatever it takes to get the big shootout to take out the big stuff. So looking at Thomas's list for Blood Angels, and he's been posting quite a bit of his success, so you can follow him online. Starts off with a battalion of Blood Angels, Sanguinor, as well as a Chaplain, and a Librarian, on all with jump packs. A Librarian has a Force Sword, whereas the Chaplain has got a Power Fist. The Troop slot has got 3 units of 5 Scouts. In double-checking, all with Storm Bolters, interesting. Not the Sniper Rifle. I caught that by surprise there. Second attachment, also Battalion. Continues with more Blood Angels, Sanguinary Priest with Jump Pack, Captain with Jump Pack, 2 more Scouts, and a unit of Infiltrators. And then he takes a Vanguard detachment with a Librarian Phobos armor, Sanguinary Ancient, Death Guard company featuring 15 guys, 5 of them with Thunder Hammers, 10 with Chain Swords. And then it's another Sanguinary Guard, 8 in Carmine Swords, 2 with Power Fists, all with Angulus Bolt Guns. And then Operative Requisition Sanctioned. So, yep, he's got an assassin floating around. So, honestly, this isn't much different from what Mark Wright took to LVO when he made it to the top 8. So, and you've got this in the hands of a very capable general in Thomas. So I'm kind of not surprised he did as well as he did. So especially now with the fly roll back in effect for charges. Pretty cool stuff. I'm pretty excited here. So that is on the top list from the Boise Cup. Quick look at Ben Cromwell. He's took an Imperial list just to put a little fear into what's going on out there. 3 Knights, 2 Knight Wardens, 1 Knight Crusader. And then followed up by 2 Tech Priests, a unit of Cataphron Breachers, 2 units of Skadari Rangers, and then 2 units of Sicarian Infiltrators. So another list that can fit on a business card, but there is a lot. And actually, the thing that scares me the most in that list is the Infiltrators. they just that those Fletchette blasters, they just pump out a ton of shots. And then I think it's, I can't remember if it's 6 to hits or 6 to wound, they cause a mortal wound in addition to that other damage. So it's just like, So if you're thinking, it was a light affair up in Boise, absolutely not. Some of the notables that also made to the Boise Cup, Michael Schneider coming in 7th. Brandon Grant, yeah, remember him? You know, defending champion of the ITC, came in 8th. So Ben Schminmuller in 11th. Pablo Martinez in 12th. Sean Morgan in 14th. Frequent friend of the show, Ben Jurek, came in 17th. Another Orc player making his rounds. Alan Hernandez coming in 20th. So lots of top players. Colin Sherman, actually, 27th. Nice to see him back on the tournament circuit. So, and Adam Solis in 35th place. So quite a bit of competition throughout the tournament circuit there on last weekend. So we're going to stop for one more break, and then we will get into your ITC top 10 as well as upcoming events. But I did forget to mention one thing in the news segment. Ray, I don't know if you saw this. There are competitive rules coming out for Apocalypse. So GW expects you to run Apocalypse tournaments in addition to 40K and Kill Team.
No kidding. I did miss that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of detail. The question you asked me last week was, what is the standard Apocalypse point value power level? Still hasn't been divulged. But the reason why I bring it up, not only is it another game system, another tournament pack, seems like every game they've come out with exception of 40K and maybe Age of Sigmar, but Kill Team, Warcry, Necromunda, and Dao Apocalypse, they have a specific mission pack to the point where Kill Team actually has set terrain like maps, like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that ever going to change for 40K? Are they ever going to come out with an official tournament rules? Or are they just going to let sleeping dogs lie and it ain't broke, don't fix it? Who knows?
We'll find out one way or another.
So yeah, I'll keep my eyes posted on that. But you guys on the our listing audience, hit us up on Facebook and let us know. Do you want us to report on other tournaments such as Kill Team or eventually Apocalypse tournaments as well as our 40K coverage? Let us know. We'll be more than happy to divulge a little deeper into the tournament circuit. But in the meantime, we'll take a quick break and talk about your ITC top 10 right after this. Hey there, Eric from the Exterminatus podcast, and I'm talking to all you tournament organizers out there. Do you have an event coming up? Now, naturally, we talk about all those GT and major level events coming up throughout week to week, but we usually do it after the fact. If you want to talk about your event ahead of time to get some more people to come to your event, this is your opportunity. We are opening up our ad space for some lucky TOs to, you know, let us know about your event. Give us a minute to talk about what makes your event special and glow about your event. So drive some like-minded competitive 40K players to your particular area. Hit us up on our Facebook page for more details, and we'd love to support your local community. So here our way of giving back to tournament organizers throughout the world. Only your friends here at the Exterminatus Podcast. Welcome back after the break, and your ITC top 10 looks like this. Interesting enough, the events from this past weekend have not yet scored into the ITC top 10, so there's going to be some shifting around by the time you hear our next episode. But as of today, your top 10 looks something like this. In 10th place, Junior Afaji. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I heard his name on another podcast. Occupies the 10th spot at 955 points. 9th place, Devin Swan from Canada makes his a triumphant return to the ITC top 10 in 9th place. 8th place, John Lennon, who's had to brunt the several Florida jokes, who occupies the 8th spot. Nick Nottavati in 7th place. If he wants to know how he does it, I'm sure he'll sell it to you for a monthly subscription. 6th place, Jeff Robinson is an interesting spot. He's in the top 10. He's definitely within striking range of winning this, but he's already committed to being a shoutcaster for LVO as well as Nova. So he's going to have to really find a way to squeeze in some tournaments, especially the big ones, to catch up to our leaders. 5th place, Manny Chima at 997 points in 5th place. 4th place, Chris Blackham from England is our first of our 1,000-point players. It's 1,002 points. Richard Siegler at 1011. 2nd place, TJ Lanigan at 1075, so a gaping lead. And still in 1st place, he was able to add to his totals, Jim Vessel at 1,141 points is currently your ITC number one player for the week. Ray, what events we got coming up next week?
All right, this is one of the ones I thought was kind of interesting because it's not this weekend. And by the time people are hearing this, well, probably already happened. There is an event happening tomorrow, and it looks like on the Thursday in Augusta, Georgia. It is the Mournival Civil War. It is a 5-round tournament with it is ITC. I thought that was pretty interesting. So anybody who feels like playing over the 4th, today or tomorrow and on the 4th, they've got a tournament.
So yes, in case you're recording on Tuesday before Memorial Day, Independence Day. So for those who are living outside the United States, that's one of our large holidays. So right now it's July 2nd. We celebrate on 4th of July. So, yeah, interesting they're having a tournament 4th of July weekend, but, why not take advantage of it?
Yeah. All right. We've also got, actually in the weekend this time, there is the Cleveland Chainsaw Championship in Westlake, Ohio. There is the Bristol City Open in England. Another event in England is the Allies of Convenience GT. Looks like that's at Element Games in Stockport. There's the Lords of War 5 in Sweden. The SN Conquest Zones 2 in Gibraltar. And finally, Warzone Man. And I believe it's the Isle of Man. There it is. Yeah. The only GT in the Isle of Man.
Well, might be their only chance. So I hope everybody comes out to that particular event, especially if it's their only event. Get out there and play. So anything else you'd like to hear from us? Look for additional updates throughout the week. We'll have your big movers and shakers in the ITC top 40 posted on our Facebook page later in the week. And also check out our Facebook page as our team jerseys finally showed up and are being modeled as we speak. So yeah, I changed the back of my jersey from my hard and difficult name to pronounce to Exterminatus to promote the podcast. So check that out when they see me at tournaments. And other than that, we'll be back next week. And any other opportunities come up, we will post any other breaking news from this coming weekend. In the meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.